Radhe Radhe. And it's Radhara Sudha Nidhi class. And we're beginning a new verse, number 213. We have a small addendum to yesterday's discussion on verse 224. We're discussing the humorous joking of the Manjari to give pleasure to Radha and Krishna about Govardhan Hill and Radharani's Govardhan Parvat, Kuchaga Yugale, Shaila Kuchale. Shaila Kucha Yugale. And then Krishna tried to outwit the Manjaris by making a counter joke. But it didn't work, so he felt duly embarrassed. And the word in the verse is parihasita. That was the last word. And parihas, has, of course, hasya, means to laugh, laughter. So that reminded me when I saw that, because it's about the joking seva of the Manjaris. And the title of the class will be called Joker Manjaris. I don't know if it's on net yet, but Joker Manjaris. But I saw this, I thought I would discuss, because it just deepens our understanding if we don't know already, but it gives more and more awareness and understanding of the multifaceted, unlimitedly multifaceted diamond of Radha and Krishna's Naam, Rup, Gun, and Leela. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami Pad, accords towards the end of the book, which is more elaborately discussed in Ujjal Nilamani, he discusses about rasa and prema. Beginning is just bhakti and the 64 practices and the aparads and many different aspects of the six characteristics of pure devotional service. What is the definition of sadhana? What is the definition of bhava? What is the definition of prema? And then examples, etc. And then he gets into the ras, bhakti ras, prema ras, which of course begins to manifest and appear within one's heart and mind at the very advanced stage of bhava bhakti. And becomes more and more intense as one progresses further to prema, Krishna prema. So in that discussion, of course, there's Dasya Rati and Sakya Vatsalya and Madhurya, Ganjagala. But these are called the Mukhya Ratis, the Stai, the main Ratis. But then there's something called secondary or indirect loving ecstasies, which are termed Gona Rati, G-A-U-N-A, Gona Rati, and there's seven of them. And of course these experiences that create these emotions within the living being, within humans, we all, within Radha and Krishna, we also have the same thing. We have laughter, we have courage, and someone displays chivalry or courage, and someone displays, or sometimes we laugh. Sometimes we're astonished, sometimes we're amazed, sometimes we see something horrible and ghastly. So all these experiences that are byproducts of the vibhav. Vibhav means me and the environment, me and other people. Because vibhav means the hero and the heroine, the two players in any episode or any exchange. Then the place, circumstance, day, night, moon, no moon, in the ocean, in the beach, in the forest, in the city, in the car, wherever. It's called the Udipan. So then, this is the factor, the basic factor that begins to produce ras. There's some people. You can't have a party with one. And you can't experience you can experience these things alone. You can be amazed, you can laugh by yourself, ha ha. But they're byproducts of rasa. I thought we would just read a little bit about laughter. Because one thing is, first of all, we don't laugh enough for various reasons. Because we're all basically healthy. Basically, every devotee is an optimistic pessimist. He's an optimistic pessimist, if you understand this language. In other words, he is he is hopeful and positive about his prospects and about his future, and he's hopeful and upbeat and happy about what he's doing in terms of spiritual practices and the future that they will bring, the rewards that they will give, the attainments he will achieve, the state of pure mind and love-filled heart. So these makes him optimistic and positive. But he's a realist. A devotee is a stark realist, a philosopher, an analyzer, and extremely objective and clear thinking and clear seeing. So then he becomes pessimistic about this material world, the mundane relationships within it, due to his own experience or his own intelligence. Both are teachers. Intelligence is a better teacher. Experience is a bitter teacher. Intelligence is a sweet teacher, if you have any. And if you don't, you get the bitter lessons. You get the lessons from the bitter teacher called the very bitter old man teacher who's always grouchy. Old men are always grouchy. You don't know, but I know. I wasn't till I became old. I thought I was pretty cool till I became old. Now I'm so grouchy. So the experience is a very bitter, grouchy old man who teaches us. So the devotees are... They're optimistic pessimists. So here we're talking about laughter. So as I mentioned, we don't have much to laugh about. But certainly there's very funny things. In fact, one of the funniest passages I used to read when I was on book distribution back in the 70s, early 70s in the airport in L.A. or wherever airport, San Francisco, L.A., here, Denver, here, there, everywhere. And then sometimes it got really tough with all those pessimistic people out there, negative numbers. So I would sit down, I'd read from the Nectar Devotion, the chapter on laughter. And there's one particular passage which I just remembered, I saw it, I didn't think I would mention it. But then I used to read this and I used to feel really good and really happy. I'll see if it's here, I can find it. Yeah. I read this many, many times, and I could see it, and I would laugh, because it's book distribution in America in the 1970s. It was not a laughing matter. Every day was Kurukshetra, no doubt. It was a fight, and it was difficult, especially if it's not your cup of tea to go sell books in the airport. But anyway, Guru Seva. So I would sit down, open the Nectar Devotion, because I would only read the Nectar Devotion in the back part, all about the rasas and the laughing and the chivalry and all those different examples. It was so attractive to me. And you automatically learn about 64 limbs of devotion, but for me, the nectar of the book, Nectar Devotion, was the last third, the last half. And what really surprises me, when I came to India, I was instructed, or at least it was recommended, I was instructed by one GBC guru, and with the same instruction he gave his disciples, that you can all read the first, whatever it was, my disciples can read the first 30 chapters in Nectar Devotion, but don't read anything beyond that. So that was the agya, the guru agya to his disciples. And then... That's reasonable, that they're made for that. I finally found its usage. You know, 7x4, it's perfect. And so then, that was the instruction, that's standing order to disciples. Then to me, after giving a class once, where I was speaking a lot from the last part of Nectar Devotion, and they said, "Do you think, you know, when you give class, you can just speak more on the first chapters of Nectar Devotion?" And I said, I'll take it into consideration. But it never came to pass. So anyway, I would read this particular entry, and then I would laugh. And I hope you do too. This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is an example of the Gonarati of Hasya Ras. Because in the last verse, in 224, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we heard about the mantri was an expert joker, which he learned that the science of joking, how to tell jokes for dummies. She learned the science from Vishakha Sakhi. She's expert. She's really expert in joking. I feel a natural affinity for Vishakha. I always did. I never knew it would end. It's a nice phrase. We have this in English. I never knew it would end up like this. And fill in the blank, whatever that may be. So when I first came at Vrindavan in 77, my eyes landed on Radhashyama Sundar. Then my eyes also fell on Vishakha. I thought, I like Vishakha. Little did I know that so many years later I would be serving. She would be my Nitya Sakhi Yukteswari. Amazing world. So Rupa Goswami cites this example of Hasyaras. This is laughing ecstasy, divine transcendental laughing and ecstasy in the spiritual world with Krishna and his spiritual associates, his Nitya Siddhas. Now this one, who are the players? The players are the Sakhis. And who are they picking on? Who is the object of the laughing now? The object of the laughing is Chitila's daughter, which is whom? Chitila. Chitila's daughter is whom? Can't hear very well. Chitila has a daughter. Anyone know? Hello? I'm saying the joke is about the daughter, not in-law. The daughter of Chitila, who is Kutila. Kutila means she has ridiculously wavy hair. Has two meanings. She has like, her hair is so frizzed out and she could use a thousand, no, whatever, and it couldn't become straight. Just like, it looks like wild. And that's one thing why she's called Kutila. The other reason she's called Kutila is because she's crooked. She's very crooked and nasty and always trying to spoil Radharani's fun with Krishna. So one day, by chance, Kutila is walking along the footpath in Yavat, alone, and she happened to come upon Lalita and Vishakha. And then what happened? So they accosted her and they greeted her and said, "Oh, Priya Sakhi, Kutila. Oh, it's so nice to see you. Your breaths are as long as string beans." You know string beans? They're like a long green bean, you know, just hanging. "Your breasts are as long and nice as string beans, simply dry and long. Your nose is so beautiful. Your nose is more beautiful than the nose of a frog." In Hindi, it's mendak nak. Because nak means nose, and mendak means frog. "Oh, Kutila, your nose is so beautiful. Like, it looks like the nose of a frog. It's so gorgeous, it defies the beauty of the noses of the frogs. And your eyes, oh, your doe eyes, they're more beautiful than the eyes of a dog." Dog's eyes are totally dull and sleepy and dull and black and small and beady. "Your lips, you know, you should have very full lips and you do liposuction or get, you know, whatever they do, they make big lips and this and that. You should have full lips and natural red, a healthy person. So your lips defy the flaming cinders of fire. And your belly, your waist, is as beautiful as a big drum. Therefore, my dear Sundari, oh, Priya Sundari Kutila, my dear beautiful Kutila, I think that you, with all your beauty, you must be way beyond the attraction of the sweet blowing of Krishna's flute. So this is a very, this is, and imagine who the joke was on that day. The joke was on Kutila, and the Sakis were laughing and laughing. This is quite obvious. Here the gopis are tasting the gonarati of ecstatic laughter. So I would read that and I would laugh. And I would feel, I think this is very funny. I didn't exactly know. I knew that exactly who Kutila was and Jatila was in 1975. But I came to find out, and it became even more relishable to remember it. So this is funny. So then this whole thing where the gopis are joking, the mandris are joking in 224 verse of Radharasadhaniti, they're joking with Krishna. This, oh, you know, you lifted Govardhan Hill, your Giridhari, but you can't even lift the two golden Hema Parvat of Radharani's breasts. You just see them become disturbed and become bhayam. You become fearful. And you start trembling. So they're joking. He doesn't really become fearful. He becomes excited. But then he makes a joke. He says, oh, no. And so this laughter is very nice. So they... There's these. First of all, I want to just mention, what are these gona rasas? Laughter is one of these secondary rasas, or what he calls indirect loving relationships. They nourish, they act to complement and nourish. They're occasional. Sometimes you laugh, not all day long and day and night, or you'd be a crazy person. So these types of experiences and leelas and situations come where Radha and Krishna and the gopis and other members, other Nityasthiras, are also experiencing, and different ratis, many of these also, gonaratis. But it's in context of Radha and Krishna. So they have hasiras, which is laughing ecstasy, adbhuta bhakti ras, amazement or astonishment, vira bhakti ras, chivalry, courage, heroism, karuna bhakti ras, compassion, Rodra Bhakti Ras, anger. Bhayanaka, or Bhayam. Bhayanaka Bhakti Ras, dread, fear, anxiety. Vivatsa, ghastliness. These are the seven rasas. Like an example of Karuna that's given in Ujjala Nilamani is that one day Radharani, and she has a pet deer. Her pet deer's name is Rangani. Rangini is the name of a pet deer, and Krishna has a pet deer named Suranga. Suranga and Rangini, they are together, husband and wife, or whatever, you know. Mr. and Mrs. Deer, the deer one and the dearest one. So Rangini and Suranga. So one day Rangini came, and the Sakhi said, oh, look, Rangini was chewing some grass and chewed some dry thorn and cut her lip. And Radharani said, oh, my Rangini, oh, are you okay? And then she called Rangini over, Radharani. She started petting gently Rangini, and Rangini was looking at Radharani so lovingly with her large doe eyes. the doe-eyed doe means female deer, a doe. And her large moist eyes, tender, peaceful eyes, loving eyes. Radharani is petting. So, oh, what happened to your lip? Oh, this is not this. Let me dress your wound. Let me fix your wound. So Radharani took some kunkum. This kunkum has some apparently medicinal value or whatever. So she took some kunkum and mixed it something, some other thing, some made an ointment, like betadine. Some type of thing like this, some ointment. And then she put it on the lip of Rangini to show her love and compassion, even for the deer, her pet deer. So this was given as an example of Karuna, compassion. What to speak of Karuna Mayi? We think of Karuna Mayi Radha, how she's so kind to all of us. So this laughing ecstasy that we mentioned in 224, the joking service of the mandris, it says here that it gives a definition, when one's humorous attitude, in other words, hasyarati is there. In other words, within our heart, oh, at one point I'd like to make, which is very interesting, you may be knowing, that there are 8,400,000 species of life, and there's thousands and thousands of varieties therein, although more and more are becoming extinct every day because of our pollution and foolish outlook towards nature. But irregardless, there's millions and millions of living entities, beasts and monkeys and chimpanzees and so many. But there's only one of all those many millions of varieties and types of species and genus. There's only one living entity that laughs, that has the ability to laugh, that can laugh, that does laugh, that sometimes laughs. And that's, it's not Russians, because they don't laugh. Because in all the yatras I ever took out, there's 400 Russians, you know, and some yatra I took out before, and I tell some really good jokes, and they're like, if it's really super good joke, they go. I don't want anybody from America or Europe, they're rolling on the Braja Raj. So I guess, at any rate, I'm just joking. So that's a joke. So the only human beings, Russians included, only human beings can laugh, men and women. Not monkeys. We laugh at them and make laughing faces, but they can't laugh. If you hear one laugh, then, you know, you may have to need some treatment. The point is that, so this is a speciality. This is a vishesh gun of the manush. It's called manush vishesh gun. The speciality of manu means man or woman, whatever, humans. Vishesh gun of human beings is we can laugh, and so we have that power, that potency, that potential, so we should use it and laugh. Only, you know, when it's real, because it says in Ayurveda, if you fake laugh, it's actually unhealthy. Because in India, and maybe around the world, a phenomenon has appeared last 20 years called laughing clubs. And I've seen them in Bombay. And this is among the elite and rich, because they have the most money and the most influence and the most pratishta and kamani and kanak and all that stuff. And they're the most miserable, unhappy people. And consequently, they never laugh. So they have to join a club. Sounds ridiculous, but it's true. And they have chapters and branches. You know, you have Rotary Club and Lions Club and this kind of thing, right? So this is called laughing clubs. And I saw in Juhu Beach. Juhu Beach is where very, you know, rich people live. Even movie stars and whatnot. And they're in a circle. They're all in a laughing circle, like we used to go do Om circles and whatnot, and 40 years ago or whatever, you know, Om circles in some concert. Om, and I'll try to bring peace to the universe. I mean, it's a good idea. It's a nice thing. Good, powerful vibration. That's real. It's Shabda Brahman. So they go up. They stand in a circle and look at each other at sunrise and do some calisthenics and stretches and this and that. And they're all established people and 30, 35 to 60, they're wealthy. And they laugh. And there's a leading laugher leader, or whatever you call it. A leader, you know, cheerleader, whatever. So he goes, ha ha ha! And everybody goes, ha ha ha! And it's like, what a bunch of jerks, you know. He says, just join the Hare Krishna temple, you'd be laughing all the time. I mean, so, and it goes, I've read some books on Ayurveda. I studied medicine. I also got into that later on, but Ayurveda after allopathic. And it says that the natural you should not repress natural functions, like passing, oh, I have to pass here, and okay, I'll hold it for 5 hours till like the car stops. It's very bad. Or sneezing, like you go, oh, I have to sneeze, oh, and you hold it. Sneezing and all these different, these are called natural urges of the body, and they by releasing them, naturally, they come. Yawn, oh, I shouldn't yawn. Whatever. These balance the chakras and life airs in the body. So laughing, forcing laughing is very unhealthy. And even they list in the Vagbhata. Vagbhata was one great vaidya. Shushuta Charak, Chavana. There's many great rishis that wrote books in Ayurveda. Anyway, Vagbhata, so he says that he lists the diseases that come from fake laughing. So this modern age is so crazy. You pay 1,000 rupees a month to join a laughing club, and you laugh 5 minutes a day, and you get an incurable disease after 6 months. Isn't that joke's on you? I mean, so isn't that a ridiculous age? I mean, devotees are a little sober. I mean, they're dhira, they're sober. That's their quality. People are mad. Like Prabhupada had an article in 1975 in a VTG, we're on the street selling, who's crazy? you Christians are crazy. We're the only ones that aren't. So laughter. Okay, there's laughter. But in the spiritual world, there's 6 different types of laughter. Like I said, there's 360 types of nayakas, heroines, you know, lovers of Krishna, all different moods and temperaments, and you know, harsh and mild, and sometimes harsh and sometimes mild, and submissive and aggressive and unsubmissive. Like people, all kinds of people. We have varieties of people. Variety makes the world go round here in our own experience in life. And no different there, but much more depth and much more variety, and it's all transcendental, and it's all connected to one. All are connected to the one. Everyone's connected to Krishna's pleasure and loving pleasure and happiness and satisfaction. It's what is it? Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar used to say, the spiritual world is everywhere's center. What is it? Here's every. I forget. A very nice, clever phrase he had. Everywhere. Here, everything's circumference. What is it? Centered. Everything's centered. In other words, here it's like if you go to a lake, 3 or 4 friends. A lake, you know, water, some water, in a forest, some water, lake, and then everyone picks up a small rock, and just randomly throws it. And then when it hits the water, it makes a circle, like you said. So. Oh, that everywhere center, nowhere circumference. That was the phrase. In the spiritual world, everywhere center, nowhere circumference. So what does this circumference mean? So everywhere center, nowhere circumference. Here it's everywhere circumference, no center. There's no center here. You ever hear the idea, oh, you're self-centered. You're egocentric. Have you ever heard these terms? Very common psychic terms in everyday usage. And we're like that. You're egocentric or you're self-centered. You don't care about others, you know, right? I have my circle of friends, prayer circle. Hey, this word is everywhere. There's all circles here. And everyone's going in circles. Samsara chakra, janamriti jara, everywhere circles. So here, everywhere circumference, which means circle, huh? Nowhere center point. So the example that is given is you, all three of us, we friends, we throw our stones. I make my circle, and then it's mine. It's going dum 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 dum, and your circle, and then it's going out, and all of a sudden, boing, your circle hits mine. There's no one, so my circle is bumping your interests. Hey, we don't have the same interests. That's why divorce. We come together, we become one, uni, then we become di. Uni means one. Dai means two. Uni. Uni-centered. One. Then two become one. One become two. So this is the spiritual world. The center is Krishna. There's only one center, Krishna. And everyone's revolving around that. That's why just even in the whole concept of center being Radha and Krishna, the Supreme Divinity, the Supreme Power, Supreme Power, Shakti, Shaktiman, that's the whole principle of yoga, there's a whole principle of meditation. For every yogi, for everyone, the center point, the mandalas, the meditation mandalas, it's to bring the center. The center is Agya Chakra. It's called Trikuti. It's here. Krishna's telling, meditation means here. Bas. Madhya Bru, it's in the 6th chapter of Gita. Gita Upanishad. All the Upanishads, there's so many yoga Upanishads. All yoga is described in various Upanishads by various rishis. So Bhagavad Gita is Gita Upanishad. It's the song of all Upanishads, the ultimate Gita, the ultimate song, Bhagavan's song. So Bhagavan's saying, Madhya Bru, meditate between your eyebrows. This is the thing. Want to light some incense? Well, this is the point. So there, the laughter is all for Krishna. He's the center. And it's so beautiful. So even in the yoga pit meditation, the Karnikara, the center of the lotus is Radhan Krishna. And then there's circles around. Like once I was talking with the Vaita, he said, I was asking him, where is the geographical, if I do Prikma of Radhakund, where is Nalita's Kunj, where is Vishakha's Kunj? And he said, we can't really visualize with our, he said, for example, he said, Nalita's Kunj is from like Janava's Baitak to the Ras Mandal at Radha Govindaji. Janava's Baitak to Ras Mandal, that's Nalita's Kunj in the north. And then Vishakha is northeast. So Vishakha goes from the Ras Mandal at Radha Govinda Mandir on the Prikamarg to like, you know, Jagannath Mandir or the turn. You know, just a little bit. He said that's if you wanted to try to circumscribe the kunjas of Radhakund in some confined, relatable area. But he said actually, the kunjas of Radhakund, they're so big and vast, they go all the way to, you know, Ghaziabad. In other words, they go all the way to Delhi practically. They're huge. We put maps on walls and we put maps in books, you know, but the book is only 7 inches by 9 inches. This is Lalita's Kunj. Okay, here's Lalita's Kunj. You're right, you have these books of the maps or a piece of paper. So I have some idea, but it's vast. So I thought, you know, if anyone amongst the Westerners of us knows about these things, he certainly knows, and Vaita knows. So I was, I understood it was vast. So the same thing with these, the unlimited nature of these rasas also, they're vast. But this, what I was saying about the center point, I'm saying the Radha Krishna is the center of the yoga page, and then there's around them there's 8 petals, and the petals go on and on, because there's thousands and millions of associates and sakis and yateshwaris. Because if we look at the yoga pit we meditate on, where's Chandravali? Vakapada. You look at the yoga pit that we meditate on. Where's Chandravali? She's not in Padman. So they're out of the picture. They're not. They're in another circle. And another circle, another circle, another circle. But they're all. But the center is the same. Radha and Krishna is in the center of their circle, in the center of all the circles. So everywhere is center, nowhere is circumference. Even though apparently to the mundane mind, there's a circle of the Asasakis of Radha to make the Radha Govinda Yoga Pit. But then there's the Chandravali, God forbid, but there's a Chandravali Krishna Yoga Pit. It must be, has to be. Because it's all of her sakis and all the mandris and upasakis and all there. It goes on and on. Anyway, back to laughter, which is a very wonderful subject. So he lists here 6 different divisions of laughter, because in the verse it mentioned parihasa, because it could just say that hasya. In other words, parihasa means an extreme form of hasya in verse 2:24. So he mentions here 6 different divisions, and they're classified according to increasement in intensity. According to Rupa Goswami's calculation, laughter and ecstatic love, it means prema, can divide into 6 divisions according to the different degrees of smiling. The more you smile, that's the higher class of laughter. Like high class laughter, you can go. Like Russian laughter, that's low on the scale. Russian go. They're there. they're in the ratings. I don't mind. So here they are. Smita, we have sometimes name for Krishna, Smita Krishna. Smita, Hasita, Vihasita, Avahasita, Apahasita, and Atihasita. So now this is a little brief description, and there's so many pastimes to illustrate each one in Nectar Devotion. One is Smita. First I'll give the 3 types of laughter that's manifested in people with gray hair. Like this, you know? These kind of people. So there's three divisions of laughter that, in other words, you can imagine someone's old, they don't really laugh it up. they're a little subdued. It's like, but young people, ha ha, and they roll on the ground, hold on to their sides, oh, you know, side busting, rib cracking laughter. You know, really, belly, what do they call it? Belly breaking laughter or something like that. I forget. But, so this is the old folks. The old folks of Braj. There's nobody old. Everyone's Navayovana. You know, even, but they just, they have, like, there's gopis that have white hair. There's no wrinkles on their body at all. There's no such thing. But there's also, you read about some gopi that has wrinkles too. But she's more beautiful than the goddess of fortune. So we can't bring our calculation here, there. Just know that everyone's unlimitedly transcendentally beautiful. And it's just a form they're showing for the enhancement of the rasa and the love of Radha and Krishna. And they're fully satisfied. You don't think, oh, I wish I have this black hair. I want to dye it blonde. I think the blonde-haired gopis are having more fun. I have this black hair. I'm going. Lalita, can you dye my hair tonight? Because the sakis are expert in hair dyeing or all kinds of things. But none of this goes on. Everyone's fully satisfied and blissful what they have. So you can understand, and it's clear. This is manifested in the elderly gopas, elderly gopis. And that's all there is in Braj. And a few Brahmins here and there. Smita. This is the lowest category of smiling. Smiling mouth. Then the next category, Hasita. Smile with teeth slightly visible. I don't know how to... These two are kind of like in the Russian, in land of Russia. Now, this is a third one. Of course, remember, this is elderly, and you guys are young, so, you know. This is for the elderly folks of Braj. The third category, this is from the lowest to the highest, right? Lowest is Smita. Just like, okay, so funny. Then smiling with teeth slightly visible. Then Vihasita, that's just Vihasita. Vihasita is smiling with teeth distinctly visible. Whatever, how to dramatize it. Anyway, so these are the loka, Smita, Hasita. Now, these are the type of smiling that's manifested in the young folks. The young gopis, like the ones that just, the gopis that just met Kutila, the young gopis, they're only 14 and 15, or 14, 13. And they met Kutila and they made a good joke of her, said she has a frog nose and dog eyes. Frog nose and dog eyes and bean breasts. I've heard of bean bags with bean breasts. Green bean breasts, frog nose and dog eyes. Wow, and your belly's like a bass drum. Avahasita, smiling with squinting the eyes. There's somebody in here that smiles like that. There's some people, that's their cat. They smile like that. They smile like... Do you know? Not everyone does. Some people do. But that's up there on the scale. That's avahasita. That's fourth number, getting to the top. Then apahasita. Apahasita means smiling with tears and shaking. Now, my godbrothers, I can characterize them in these different categories, but I don't want to get into it. But there's some, like this one we just read about, smiling with tears and shaking. Some people, when they laugh, they go like this. Without mentioning any names. But their shoulders move, there's just shaking. Most people just say, ha ha ha. You know, this thing. And then And this is this person, this is the original person, that my godbrother, that does like that. But he has a few clones. He has a few clones that like try to, you know, cut the profile. And they also do this kind of laughing, I mean, that thing also, which I noticed, and I thought, this is really taking to the max. Okay, that's up there. That's called apahasita. Now the last one is atihasita. These are only younger gopis, so you can understand. You're a young gopi. That's nice. Smiling, which squints the eyes. That's avahasita. Then apahasita, smiling with tears and shaking. Then atihasita means smiling with clapping the hands and jumping. So who does that? That's the younger folks, like Mara Mangal. You know, hi, he's. You ever see plays with Mara Mangal? He's jumping and dancing and kicking his heel. He's laughing like he's a buffoon. He's a jester. Buffoon means joker. So he's smiling, laughing, kicking his feet. This is ati, like ati sundari. Beautiful, excessively, completely excessively beautiful. So this is some idea of the laughter in the spiritual world. There's laughter, three types of laughter by the older folks, three types of laughter by the younger folks. Obviously the younger people, they're more physical about it. And the older people are more subdued and refined, cultured. Imagine seeing Chitila clapping her hands and jumping. All right, we caught that rascal. No, it's not possible. She's all bent over and can hardly walk. So this is a discussion about laughter and everyone laughed also. So that was good. So this is, these are varying types of, from mild to excessive laughing. So I just wrote a footnote on this point, that this is Brajadam. Shidam Vrindavan is the land of eternal loving play, where every day is full of laughter, joy, fun, and endless exchanges of pure love shared and enjoyed between Sri Krishna and his Brajagopas and Gopis. That was just like the epilogue to that discussion. So now we'll begin this new verse. This is verse 213. The title of this verse is, what is the title of this verse? Sleeping Manjaris. We have a story when I was a child called Sleeping Beauty. So the Manjaris are very beautiful also. Sleeping beautiful Manjaris. I'll just keep it short. Sleeping Manjaris. This, and you have to, now when we meditate, every rest of the day, whatever we're doing throughout our movements as devotees, we're moving our bodies and senses and various sevas and activities for our sadhana and our existence in this body. But when we sit for meditation, or deeply studying shastras or rasic lila shlokas or meditation, at that time, we really have to turn on and invoke the powers of visualization. We all have that power, and it's quite evident. So, sit right, think right, it helps. So I was speaking that when we, those moments, hopefully they're not rare moments, but they're more and more of our moments. Not the rare moment when we meditate, but more and more of our moments are spent. It's hard to find the time to meditate. The ambience, the space, the time, the place, the mind, the health, the balance. Many things are required to properly, deeply, and successfully meditate. But at that time, we all have to turn on the powers of visualization, which we all experience when we sleep. The senses are inert. The mental, only the mind is working. beyond our conscious control. It's called unconsciousness, sleeping. But we're seeing, we're visuals. Visuals mean sights, colors, and sounds, and smells, and tastes, and touches, and all these things go on to limited or greater extents, depending on the individuals. And they've done a lot of study about all this. So this proves that with our unconscious state of sleeping, we actively participate in very vivid, it's called vivid dreams. Even they have courses, you can pay money to learn how to have vivid dreams. But we have very vivid dreams where we're actively participating. We're playing a part in the dream. The hero, the heroine, the loser, the winner, the whatever. The experience or the dream. So meditation is that. The eyes are closed and then we employ those. Visualization is the principle that's working when we're dreaming unconsciously. So we can grab that power of visualization consciously when we're awake and sitting for meditation. Sometimes people, you hear the phrase, oh, even in school, when you go to school and your teacher may comment on the way you write or the way you speak or different things, oh, he has good powers of visualization. There's memorization, visualization, so many things. But we all have this power, and meditation requires that we develop this power to actually see with our mind's eye this in the beginning stages. And as we progress on the path of meditation practice, as our sadhana, side by side to the purification of our heart and consciousness and elevation of our consciousness, if and when that day comes that we come to bhava, that visualization will become a realization. The visualization will turn into a realization, and then it will be practically seen. This is called spurti. Spurti means that practically, seemingly tangible manifestation. Spurti is so real, it's like virtual reality computer or something. This is described like this. It's not my experience. I'm not there, but it's described. That the spurti, I'm meditating, I'm touching Krishna, I'm holding, like Vilap Kusumanjali, he's having spurti, visporti. I'm holding Radharani's feet, I'm holding the brush, and some other mantras, holding the lac dye, and I'm dipping it, and I'm painting Radharani's feet. And they're so beautiful, and they're so soft, and all you're experiencing the smell of Radharani, and you're smelling Radharani's feet, and you're touching Radharani's feet, and you're feeling Radharani's Mahabhav in your heart. Everything's going on. And then you lose it, and you cry, I was there, it was real. This is Vilap. Then you lament, Vilap. Oh, Yoga Maya, oh Purnamasi, oh Radharani, oh Gurudev. You let me come there. I was there. I was there. Spurti, visporti. This is Bhav and brain. So, Smaran doesn't start there. That's samadhi. That's the fifth level. Smaran starts as simple remembrance, which means remembrance and visualization. So, trying to see, trying to smell, trying everything there. So this verse is, I want everyone to try to visualize this, that this is what's being described here is introduction, I just said it's a beautiful leela, and Radha and Krishna, it's described that what will be mentioned in this verse, that their forms of Radha and Krishna are the very forms of the topmost love. This is being mentioned here. And what is the leela here? That Radha and Krishna are together in the kunja, on a flower bed, and they're sleeping. This is Supta or Swapna Vilas. Vishnu Chakravarti Pati wrote one short writing piece of writing called Swapna Vilas Amritam, which is in English also. Swapna Vilas Amritam. And it's meeting of Radha and Krishna meet in a dream, and Radharani sees, she's dreaming and she sees Krishna, but then Krishna becomes Gauranga, and she's Gauranga, and everyone's dancing on the bank of some river, and there's so many, and they're dancing in a circle, and the moon is shining, and there's a river, and there's a sandy bank, and there's music, and I feel I'm there, and I'm dancing, but then Radharani woke up, and she said, what was I seeing? There was a bank, there was a river, very much like Yamuna River, but it wasn't Yamuna, it wasn't dark blue in color, it was something whitish and green. And the full moon was shining there, but there weren't Kadamba trees and Arjuna trees and Palasha Nigrodra and Shal trees and all these other big trees on the banks of Yamuna, Tamal. And there was palm trees, coconut palm trees and date palm trees and betel nut trees on the banks of this river. And I was there, I felt I was there, but there weren't gopis, there was all men there. And they were dancing and spinning and whirling like we do in the Rasa dance, but there was no Veenas. It was only Murdungas and Kartals and Jajas, we call Wampers. And so I felt I was there, but I couldn't understand. It was all men. But then where were you? I didn't see you there, Krishna. So what was this? So then Krishna smiled. I don't know which one of these Atihasita or mildly smiled. Avahasita. A mild smile like, yes. And then he was just smiling and then looking down like this. Radharani's looking at his smile and then following his eyes. And when she followed Krishna's eyes downward, she saw Krishna's Kostuba money. Because in the Kostuba money that's around Krishna's neck, and that's only Vishnu wears or Krishna wears, all the consciousness and all the living entities, and all living entities are somehow contained in there. That's also described in some places. But at this particular moment, when Radharani followed Krishna's downward glancing and mild smile, and she looked in the Kostuba money and she saw that Leela. She saw Gauranga dancing on the banks of the Ganga. And Radharani said, this is what I saw. And Krishna said, yes. In the future, you and I will merge together in one form. I will become Gaurangi Radha. And Shyam Sundar will become Gauranga Sundar. Shyam Sundar and Gaurangi Radha will become Gaur Sundar. Gauranga Sundar. And the Yamuna will become the Ganga, and the Lita Vishaka will become Ramananda Roy and Sri Damodar, and all will be dancing, and Harinam Sat Kirtan, Mahaprabhu Kirtan. So this is Swapna Vilas Amritam. So, pastimes in a dream, Radha and Krishna. Beautiful. You read? Everyone's read this? Krishna Chakravarti? It's so beautiful. I narrated on the tape. All these things I read and I just listened to it. It's just like so nice. So this is the setting is a flower bed. Radha and Krishna have fallen asleep, and Manjari has rendered a service there to help them fall asleep by relaxing foot massage. Everywhere it's told that if you can't sleep at night, then massage your feet with mustard oil or ghee. Ghee is rather costly, better to use it for Krishna's service. Rub your feet with mustard oil and put some ghee, put pure cow's ghee in your nose and you'll have a nice sleep. So it's very relaxing. Even Ayurveda discusses that. Rub your feet with more mustard oil nicely. Put some ghee in your nostrils. And then dream of, have Swapna Vilas Amritam. Dream of Gauranga and Gaurangi. That's nice. You can only dream about what you're always experiencing. If you're a pujari and you're just absorbed day and night in serving the deities, what will you dream about? You'll dream about the deities. I know, because I did pujari work for 4 years along with book distribution. Every Pajari has that experience. If you're absorbed in serving your Gurudev, you're really a Guru Sevak. You're really a dedicated, heartly Guru Sevak. Whatever that, and Guru is everything in your life. Mantan Dan Guru Samarpan. Your mind is always Guru. Your body is always serving Guru. There's some rare disciples like that. They're really absorbed in the Guru. They have natural bhav, maybe over many lifetimes. They're called the Priya Shishyas of the Guru. Many lifetimes serving the Guru. So they become very near and dear to him. So, when they dream, they'll dream of Guru. I know people like that. They tell me when they dream, they're dreaming about this service for Guru, that service for Guru. It's very fortunate, very lucky person. So now, how to mold our dreams or shape our dreams? Always hear Lila Katha. Always hear. You make your own tape. Don't wait for somebody to make a tape on YouTube or make your own. Everyone has a telephone. Record your own. Read all these things. Milaku Samanjali, Chamatkara Chandrika. All these Leelas and read them on tapes. I have tapes that are 25 years old. I've been listening to for 20, since I'm in India, 28 years. All these different Leelas. I have all these things I got. All these things that Advaita wrote were all before, by 1990, 89, 90, 92, they're all finished. He just revised them. So I just record them all. What are you going to listen to? I don't know. My classes? No, don't do. record these things, Vishwanath and Prarthana, and selected passages from Prarthana and Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Because, you know, yayatam mam prapadyante. You know, we have to act. No one's going to bring Krishna consciousness on a plate and hand it to us. We have to endeavor as much as we can. We can endeavor all the way to asakti. We have to attach ourselves fully to Krishna and then depend on the mercy for the rest. Depend on mercy to get to asakti also. But bhava descends. Bhava descends, avaroha. Avaroha. It comes down. We can get to the level of bhava, but bhava itself, it has to descend in the heart. So this is one point. So the verse itself, we have some time. Not much. But this is the introduction. So again, what we have here is the seva, the mantras, that they're massaging the feet. But you'll see in this verse, these six questions are again in action. When you're considering any lila or any meditation or any service and meditating as on a service as a mantra, then you have to consider who, what, when, where, why, and how. And the how part is everywhere to mention how. For example, here it says mridu padamboja samvahan nani. Pada samvahan means massaging the feet. Pada. Many mantras have that as their nitya seva. Foot massage. Some have body massage, or chamara fanning, or tambal, or shringar, or decoration, or many different sevas are there and given by the gurus, and desired by the sadhaka's personal preference and ruchi, natural evolution of attachment for serving Radharani. Something may evolve due to his development of attachment and natural attraction and ruchi. So therefore, it's just told in this, the how to. Okay, I'm massaging feet. How? Mridu. Mridu. Mridu means very softly, very gently. Because there's invigorating massages, and because when you want someone to sleep, you don't pick them up and stretch it. Sometimes you can get a vigorous massage, or there's deep massages. They have all kinds of massages. Deep muscle massage, or this, I don't know, they have all kind of fancy terms for it all. Or Ayurvedic massage. You just put that name in front of it, makes it more mystical. Panchakarma massage. I mean, massage. Your body, my hands, that's massage, boss. Try to make it yoga, superpower yoga massage. I mean, it's like, come on, man. It's just the basics. So mridu, very gently. So how do I massage very gently? So the verse, Sandranandan Mada Rasagana Prema Piyusha Murte Sri Radaya Atta Marupate supteo kunjatalte kurvanaham mridu mridu padambuja samvahanani shayante kim kim api patita prapta tandra vadeyam. So, very nice. There's the flower bed, there's the kunja, there's Radha and Krishna, Manjari did massage, they fell asleep. Your service was very successful, but your service was a little too successful, because you massaged the divine couple, Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, and they fell asleep. But the surprise ending of it all is, you fell asleep too. So the Manjari also fell asleep at the end of the bed. So there's three people sleeping in the same bed. Radha and Krishna are in their kunja talpe. Talpe means flower. Kunja talpe means flower bed. And they fell asleep. That's nice. It's their bed. But then the Sevite also fell asleep at the feet of the master and mistress. You know, the headboard and the foot of the bed. So she fell asleep at the feet, at the foot of the bed. So this is a twist. This verse has a twist ending, and I guess we'll find out more about the sleeping Manjari tomorrow. Shri Radha Sudhanidhi ki jai. Jai jai Shri Radhe, jai jai Shri Radhe. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Prabhadananda Saraswati Pada ki jai. Shri Kartik Devi Radharani ki jai. Shyamakan Radhakan Giri Govardhan ki jai.